You know that the Torah speaks about the Bechoros. And in the initial divine scheme of things, the Bechoros were meant to be the Ovdim in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. And for a reason which we'll soon see, God decided to drop them, and instead the Levium are going to replace the Bechoros. So we're going to take a look at Rashi in Bamidbar Gimel. I should really have brought the Chumash in, but I don't have time right now. And he says the following: Lefisha Haisa Havoda Bibchoros Ukshechatu Biegel Nifsalu Valavim Shalo Avdu Avodazara Nivcheru Tachtehem. Rashi reveals to us the secret as to why God decided to make a switch, and instead of allowing the Bechor to be Kadosh, to be sanctified, that sanctity would be transferred, would be taken away, robbed from the Bechor, and given to the Levi. And the reason for that is there's a fundamental difference between the Bechoros and the Levium. Whereas the Levium were not participants in the terrible sin of the Egel, the Bechoros were. And at that point, they became, so to speak, corrupted, and their sanctification was removed from them because of the Chetai. Now, we have, if I can get your attention for a minute, a mitzvah that, in a sense, replicates that process of transfer of Kedusha with regard to Bechoros. And what's that called? How do we transfer? Pidgin Aben, exactly. So we do something which, in a sense, is a duplication of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did back in the day when he transferred the Kedusha from the Bechoros over to the Levium. And this mitzvah is codified in Parshas Bo. And it says...
You're saying that Pidyon Aben means we're taking away the right of the Bechoros.
The Kedusha of the Bechoros. No, there's a vestige, there's what I call a residue of the original Kedusha of the Bechoros that exists even today. And that residue is Mileda, as the very moment that the child is born, he's called Peter Rechem, he has a Kedusha, and we have to remove that Kedusha by giving the Kohen 5 Slaim. And that, in a sense, is kind of duplicating the original process of transfer of Kedusha when the Kedusha was transferred from the Bechoros over to the Levim.
So let's Kohen actually done the Shabbai. We're actually doing it here.
Again, it was done in Shamayim for those Bechoros back at the time of Chet HaEgel, and we continue to do that even today. Okay. Now, where is this mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen codified? Back in Parshas Bo. In the 13th chapter of Shmos, the Torah commands us, that's Bo, Yud Gimel, V'chol Peter Chamor Tifte V'seh. So there are two mitzvahs here. One is called Petach Hamor, and that you can see occasionally today. And Bechor Adam, that's pretty common. Not so common, I wouldn't say on a daily basis. Now, the Emek Bracha is a contemporary writer. His name is Rav Baruch Weiss, and he writes the following. Hine. B'sof Parshas Bo, k'siv v'chol b'char adam b'banecha tifte. L'chora tzarech il. De Parsha zu nemra b'zman yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, Rabosai, there were two periods of time. Rashi's already established that in Bamidbar. The first period of time was up to Chet HaEgel. Who was sanctified up to Chet HaEgel? The Bechoros. And after Chet HaEgel, now the Kedusha is taken away from the Bechoros. But Yitzias Mitzrayim is obviously before or after. I'm just asking, you know, just to make sure you're on board with me. Is it before or after the Chet HaEgel?
Way before.
I mean, way before, I mean to say conceptually, it's certainly chronologically. So the Emek Bracha asks the following question. When the Avodah was still being performed by the Bechoros, for example, at that time of, or or the Bechoros had the Kedusha of the Avoda at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Adayin Zayah Kodem Lechem, in Kein Lomet Shrichem Liftos Osam. What we're saying is that the Pidgin, the Mitzvah Pidgin of Bechor, is in a sense a residue, I don't know what word to use here, of the original Pidgin of Bechoros. But yet the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBechor is given way before the Kedusha of the Bechoros was taken away from them.
Rabbi, the Levim had a special role even during the slavery in Mitzrayim. Weren't they the teachers of Torah? And
Yeah, that's true. But nevertheless, the Bechoros still had this Kedusha at this point. So we can't say that the Kedusha was taken away from them.
So it's the Perilius Tira.
There really is this theory, just in terms of the you know, it doesn't work out chronologically. And what we're going to see here as we go along is that the Rishonim themselves were aware of this problem, and they came up with a strange solution.
Yeah, but we always said if the Torah is not chronological, so we can use that excuse. Lo muktav, lo azita.
Well, I think I would say it a little bit different than you. I would say that the mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen was already given in Parshas Bo because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what was going to happen. I mean, that kind of Ein Mukta Mucha B'Torah maybe we could apply. In any event, Rabosai, I don't know how much time you have, but the punchline in this whole shiur, unfortunately, is number 14. Is the pun of Yafos.
Okay.
So again, it all depends on, you know, please, when you have to leave, leave, but, you know, this shiur was not in the original schedule, so I don't expect you to be here. The Rashbam, there in Parshas Bo, 13:13, says the following. This number four. I'm just saying that, you know, the punchline here that we want to get to, but I want to see the Rishonim first, is at the very end. He says, "Lachashen is kachu halavim tachas kol bechor b'shana shnia shehukam mishkan." And then it says, "Lachachtu hamisha." Hameshas Shkolim Lugulgolos Uksiv Upiduyov Mi Ben Chodesh Tifte Berkecha. Rabosa, if you read the Rashbam very carefully, especially the first few words of the Rashbam, on this mitzvah of Kol Bechor Adam Bivanecha Tifte, what does he add here, the Rashbam?
B'shana
Shnia. In other words, And Doc, maybe this is a kind of Ein Mukta Meuchar, but whatever it is, he says that this mitzvah tifteh, even though it was formulated back in Parashas Bo after Yitzis Mitzrayim, is a command that didn't go into effect until the second year after Yitzis Mitzrayim, after the Mishkan was established. Now, what happened when the Mishkan was established? At this point, who would be designated for the Avoda in the Mishkan?
The
Levim, because the Levim are now going to substitute. At that point, the Torah commands us from that moment on to be Poder, the Bechor, because that residue of Kedusha that we spoke about. But the mitzvah of Tifteh is not to be understood in its time, meaning in the context in which it was given, namely back in Parshas Bo, but it wouldn't apply until afterwards. And the one who says this even more explicitly, who's kind of a neighbor of the Rashbam, just geographically, is the Chizkuni.
So makes you think, how would the prayers be, all the temple service? How does that get thought out?
With Levi, temple service is given to the Levium, but that only applies from the time the temple was built, which is the second year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yes, so it doesn't make sense that the Bechoros at that point, before the second year, would be redeemed, because we're not yet ready to redeem the Bechoros, insofar as the Bechoros are really at this point in time meant to serve in the Mishkan. Forget about the Levium. No offense to the Levium. I don't know if we have any Levium here. I hope I'm not. Okay, good. So we have no Levium. Here in the ELC, we hardly see the whites of the eye of a Levi. It's just so rare, you know. But anyway, the Levium, at this point in time, after Yitzis Mitzrayim, have no special role to play in the Mishkan. Who's going to play that role? The Bechoros. And the Chizkuni again says, Banecha Tifte, back in Parshas Bo, Mitzvah Zulo Naga, it didn't go into effect, Ad Liachar Sheniskatcho Alevim B'Shana Shnia Tachas Kol Bechor B'nei Yisrael. Because at this point in time in Parshas Bo, the Bechoros have not yet worshipped the Egel, and if they still retain their status and their Kedusha.
How would the Levim Likachuga? The Kohanim were anointed, but the Levim just got it.
That's called a pidgin. I think a pidgin means when you put two things in front of you, like every single Bechor would pass by single file, and they would do a pidgin. One Levi for each Bechor. We're going to soon see that the counting doesn't exactly work out. It almost works out, but not exactly. Now we'll take a look at the Sfarno. Now this Sfarno is back in Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar. There, we were looking at Pasuk Yud Beis. The following pasuk says, "Biyom Hakosi Kol Bechor Be'eretz Mitzrayim Hikdashti Li Kol Bechor BeYisrael." So when did the Bechor BeYisrael get the kedusha? At the moment of Makas Bechoros, before Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says the Sfarno, "Omnom B'Makas Bechoros Shahayu HaBechoros Re'uyim Le'Onesh." Correct? Mm-hmm. At what point were the Bechoros Re'uyim Le'Onesh B'Yovan Adom? Ne'ayosam Hayosa Nechbadim. They were really, in a sense, the most important. Now today, I don't know sociologically if we have that same, you know, that same relationship to the Bechor, but back in the day, they were considered the leaders. You know, the firstborn was always the leader. People looked up to his younger brothers and his younger siblings looked up to him. Ubiyosam bilti ruim li notzel mi makas hamedina, but yet they weren't on the level that they were supposed to be on. Right? In other words, God protects a tzaddik, but, you know, against, let's say, natural catastrophes, but only a special tzaddik. For your average rank and file, if there's going to be a catastrophe, then it could even affect the tzaddikim. And that's why Avram Avinu had an argument against Hashem back at the time of the destruction of Sodom, Pentispe Vavon Ha'ir, that it could be that if a tzaddik is there in the city when the city is going to be destroyed, even he'll lose his life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that if they put the sign on the post, then Ani Hitzaltim Bameshek Dashtim Li, I'm going to save their lives. Correct? Because again, you know, the Bechoros were not on the level that they should be spared from the terrible destruction at the time of the Makas Bechoros. That should have impacted on them. They should have lost their lives. Hashem went out of his way to save them. Now, if Hashem saves them, he sort of possesses them. He makes a kinyan on them, and therefore they become kadosh. The inyan shiyu asurim l'sasek b'avodas hejot. This is really interesting. According to the Sfarno, in the original design, the Bechoros were not allowed to work. You know, they couldn't go out to the marketplace and work. Kimishpat kol hakodesh, who also begiz of avodah, just like if you have a behemas kodshim, you're not allowed to enjoy the benefits of the shearings, and you can't work that animal because it's kodesh. So the, you know, an animal that's kodesh can't work, and a human being that's kodesh can't work. Ulaman yu mutarin bazeh. So how do we get to the state in which the Bechoros could become mutarim be'avoda, hitzrich tam pidgin? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I require of them pidgin. Kimishpat kol hakodesh hayotzi l'chulin. Anything that's sanctified, you need a pidgin to redeem it, and then it goes l'chulin. Kyomer v'chol bechor adam bibonecha tifte. V'lo b'shvil zeh pidgin yu pturim min avoda, but v'yachshav shechotu Me'astim v'lakachti ha'levim tachteim lefijon. So it's really interesting. According to the Sfarno, if I understand the Sfarno correctly, there's a two-stage process over here. Back in Parshas Bo, there's a mitzvah of pidgin. But that pidgin is not powerful enough to completely remove the kedusha of the Bechor, because again, that mitzvah pidgin, according to the Sfarno, as opposed to the Rashbam and the Chizkuni, was given back at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. At that moment, God was Makadesh the Bechoros. They had a full Kedusha. They weren't even allowed to do any work. What process would be necessary to allow them to do work? And the answer is, that's not going to happen until there's something in the Kedusha that's going to be uprooted, and that's going to be the Chet HaEgel. So again, it comes out like this. There are two processes, if there's such a word in English, of pidgin. process number one is a low-level pidyon, not a complete pidyon, it's only a partial redemption, and that took place at the time of Shmos Yud Gimel. And Hashem says, you know what? These Bechoros can't live any sort of life on their own. They're completely dedicated to me, and that's because I saved them from Makas Bechoros. That Kedusha, which is a full-fledged, absolute 100% Kedusha, can only lend itself to a partial pidyon, sort of like an external, a superficial pidyon, and that's the mitzvah of giving 5 slaim to be poured to the Bechor. But the Bechor still retains his essential Kedusha that's in his goof, and that means that he's not allowed to do any work.
So what is the pidyon
So again, the pidyon in some sense allows the original pidyon allows the Bechor to live a normal life, with one exception. He still is dedicated to only one kind of avodah, that's the avodah Mishkan, and that enjoins him from getting involved in any other kind of avodah, which is called avodas hejot.
And he wasn't the avodah Mishkan for another year.
Right. And in the meantime, what happened? They worshipped the Egel, the Bechoros were part of that Avera, and as a result, their Kedusha was now, again in Hebrew it's called Nifgam, I don't know how to say it in English.
Tainted,
okay, it was tainted. And now at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we're going to do a full-fledged pidyon. And that's going to now, henceforth, allow the Bechoros to do what's called Avodas Hejot. Because until the second pidyon, that new level of pidyon, they were still prohibited from Avodas Hejot. Because they still had the basic kedusha of the goof. The pidyon was helpful, so that now they could, you know, involve themselves in daily activities, and they don't have to, you know, be in the Avodah 24/7, but they still had this Isur of Avodas Hejot. And that could only be removed, according to the Sfarno, Akshav Shechatu, then Lakachti Esalavim Tachtem LePidyon. Then there would be a full-fledged pidyon. So the Sfarno, again, he's not willing to accept that when the Torah says back in Parshas Bo, Bechor Barecha Tifteh, it doesn't, you know, don't take it seriously. That's going to happen later on in history. No, there was a pidyon. But that pidyon was only a first step, a first stage pidyon. Now, if you take a look on the bottom of your right column, there's a pirish called, go ahead, the Nachal Kedumim. And he says, Kol Bechor Odom Bibonecha Tifteh Pirish Rashbam Tifteh Li'achash Niskadshu Alaviv. Tachas kol b'chor b'shon ha'shein yishukav mishkem pirish ha'rav cheskuni v'udov ha'mukhrach. He says we have to accept the Rashbam and the Cheskuni that the mitzvah of pidyon ha'ben really didn't go into effect until the second year at the time of the Hakomas HaMishkan. V'agam ki zen nolad me'ha'egel shenifsalu ha'bechoros, because it wasn't until they worshipped the Egel that they became possibly Avodah. And at that point, Pidyon is meaningful, but as long as they were designated through the Kedusha for the Avodah, then Pidyon is totally inappropriate. Oh, but now he quotes the Alshich. Okay, and the Alshich is on the Pasuk, Kol Asher Yedaber Hashem. And we'll soon see the Alshich, which is really the bulk of what we're going to do today. That's numbers 9 and 10 and 12. And the Alshich has a theory that Kol Asher Yidavar Hashem, that when anything that Hashem declares is mukhrach, meaning it has to happen. Do you hear this, Rabbosai? This is going to be the yisod of the Alshich. So let's get it down ready now. We'll see it in the Alshich soon as we go along. But anything that is pronounced by God is mukhrach. Mukhrach means it must come to pass. Because with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Alshich maintains that Dibur is like Maisa. It's like it's as if it already happened. And if that be the case, then when Hashem declares Kol Banecha, Kol Bechor Adam Bebanecha Tifteh, it has to be after the Egel. Because since it was a Dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it took place before the Egel, and the Bechoros are subject to Pidyon, it must be that the Egel will happen. In other words, if inherent in the Tzivui, in the mitzvah of Kol Bechor Adam Bebanecha Tifteh is the Egel, then the Egel is going to have to happen. And then you're robbing man of his freedom of choice. So it must be that this declaration of Kol Bechara Nechativde was only Li'achar Sheniskadshu Alevim B'Shana Shemes. Do you follow what this Nachal Kedum is doing for us? Is based on the Alshich, he's giving us the insight and the basis for both the Rashbam and the Chizkuni. What compels the Rashbam and the Chizkuni to assume that Kol Bechara Nechavodim Tifteh was really given after the Chet HaEgel? Because the Alshech tells us that any Maimar, any Dibur of Hashem must come to pass. And if the Maimar of Hashem of Pidyon is predicated on the Chet HaEgel, then it must come to pass that there be a Chet HaEgel. You're now robbing man of his freedom of choice. And this issue that God knows what's going to happen and do we have freedom of choice is the subject of a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva Perkei. The Rambam writes, Shema Tomar. The Rambam dedicates the entire chapter, the fifth chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, to Bechira Chofshis, one of the fundamental principles of our religion. And he says, you might ask, Halo, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Ma She'iyeh. God knows exactly what we're going to do. Kodem She'iyeh, before it came to pass, he knew whether a person's going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. Does he not know? God knows everything. No, if God knows, v'im tomer, if he knows, yadashu tzaddik is eich efshashi a rasha, or the other way around.
Why does he have to establish a thing for all time? He suddenly says, no longer they're going to have the whole rot. So,
where are you in the Rambam? Are we in the Rambam?
No, it's general. I mean, they made a mistake, they did something wrong, that's not the whole. Or maybe he should have done it at the beginning. He should have appointed, not Bahura, but just established, the system where...
So that's what the Rambam doesn't understand. You can't establish such a system of freedom of choice. Why not? Because if you would establish such a system, then you're denying God's knowledge. Because if you admit to God's knowledge, which is one of the fundamental principles of faith, then there is no room for freedom of choice. Because if God knows what you're going to do, you have no choice.
Right. So for all time, they've been punished now. There's no such thing as Bahorot now.
You're going back to the Bechor. Okay, yeah, fine. Sorry. I thought you were talking about the Rambam.
I don't understand the logic. They made a mistake. All right, so...
You're asking why was the chait of Egel enough so that now we undermine for all time the kedusha of the Bechoros?
Yeah, yeah.
That's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that question, but apparently chait Egel is something that penetrated into the very fiber of the soul. God is going to punish us throughout the generations for the chait.
But like you said, he knows.
Excellent. So how could they be punished if God knows? That's the Rambam's kasha. Yeah. I mean, again, the Rambam doesn't ask it specifically about the Bechoros. He asks it about every avera that a person... When a person is a Rasha, we assume he had freedom of choice, and that's why he's punished. Says the Rambam, Dash, etshuva she'lezu arucha me'eretz midah v'rchava mineyam. He says that this is beyond human comprehension. How do we reconcile God's knowledge with our freedom of choice? And he says, Kama Ikrim Gedolim, he says that there are very great mountains that have to be established, and the reconciliation of Yediyah and Bechira is dependent upon those great mountains. And then the Rambam goes on to say that the Yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like the Yediyah of man. We combine or compare the knowledge of God to our knowledge. He says, no, it's different. For example, he says that a human being is separate from his knowledge. His knowledge is something that he possesses. But in the case of God, he says, "Hu v'daito echad." Man cannot understand this, but we don't have the comprehension. But God and his knowledge are one and the same. The efshar ein daito shalom michola hasig davar zel burio. And then he quotes the Navi Yeshaya. We read this on a fast day. Ki lo machshev osai machshev osaychem. Is therefore Kevet Shekenu Ein Banu Koach Leida Hech Yoda Kodesh Baruch Hu. How could God know beforehand, and he knows without any suffix what man is going to do, and yet at the same time there's no doubt that Maisa Adam Bidei Adam V'Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshcho. God is not forcing him to do evil, let's say.
So we don't know whether the living didn't do their service properly. They always did it from then on. They were pretty good. They had a good track record.
I'm not sure, you're asking a good question.
So the Bahura could have done, made this big blunder, and maybe later on another blunder. So the Levites said, look, they're not doing the right job here.
It does seem that the Chet HaEgel in different forms, you know, reappeared during the course of Jewish history. Any event, I just want you to know, before we go to the Alshich, that the Rambam incurred the wrath here, the Raivi. The Raivi was very upset with the Rambam because the Rambam raised the question. He never gave us an answer to the question. So the Raivi says he should never have asked that question to begin with. Because at the end of the day, the Rambam says it's beyond our understanding what it means that God and his Yediyah are one. And if we would understand that, we would realize that there's no contradiction to freedom of choice, but we can't comprehend what that means. So the answer to the question is totally beyond our grasp. So why did you bother, says the Ravid, asking the question? Now, you know, truth be told, this question has been asked by philosophers of different, you know, colors and different ranks and different nationalities throughout history. And freedom of choice still remains a major debate in the academies, you know, Princeton University, for example. They're still publishing books based on mathematical logic about freedom of choice and the belief in God and so forth and so on. But the Rambam raised this question, and he sort of like puts a doubt in our minds, you know, how can we have freedom of choice if God already knows beforehand what we're going to do? And at the end of the day, the Rambam doesn't really give us a satisfactory answer. He just tells us where the answer lies. The answer lies in the realm of understanding God's knowledge. But you'll never understand God's knowledge. So, in any event, let's get to the Alshich. Because the Alshich is really our main what we call bread and butter for today, matzah and butter, wherever, I don't know what you're eating these days. We don't eat matzah at this point. I don't know, as far as they eat matzah?
Yeah.
Up until Erev Pesach.
Oh, wow.
I think, I don't know. Yeah. The Ashkenazim are super chumra. They don't eat matzah. So we'll call it bread and butter. Yeah.
Why can't you ask a question that you haven't got an answer to?
I think what the Ravid is upset about is that a philosophical question that touches on the basic belief should have an answer. And if you don't have an answer, why are you discussing it? Meaning, your job is to present in a logical way a progress of fundamentals. We start with this fundamental, we develop to the next fundamental belief, and all the tenets of our faith are integrated into one logical whole. To get to a major tenet, such as why we punish a sinner, and ask the question of Bechirah Chofshit, does he have freedom of choice or not, and not to be able to answer this question, all you're doing is you're really undermining your whole goal. Your goal, and that's what the Rambam said for himself, was to explain the fundamentals of the Torah. And at the end of the day, the Rambam really hasn't done us a service, because now I personally believe, again, I'm a little bit more of a Rambam fan, that the Rambam did do us a great service, because even though we don't know the answer to this question and how to reconcile Yediyah and Bechira, but we do know where the answer lies. We know that the Yediyah of Hashem is something totally different than our Yediyah. And even though I might not be able to unravel that mystery and define in philosophical terms what it means that God's Yediyah is one with God and how that makes his Yediyah different, it's not a contradiction, but I already sense an answer to my question. Okay, let's see the Alshich, because you know time is of the limit. If we don't see the Alshich, I'm gonna jump off a roof here, because I'll be very upset that we didn't get to the punchline. Okay. Now in Bereishis, Parshas Chayisara, Perek Chaf Dalid, Pasuk Nun, Vayan Lavanu Besuel. You remember that Eliezer finds Rivka, and he wants to take Rivka back with him to marry the master's daughter, to marry Yitzchak. And he requests the permission of Lavan and Besuel. Vayomer, they answer, Me'ashem yotza hadavar, lo nuchal ledavre elecha ra'otov. Let's try to explain it without the Alshich. The Alshich is going to see worlds in this pasuk. But before the Alshich, I would have said the following. Look, it's not coincidental here that you, Eliezer, found Rivka. This must have been part of a divine plan, and we can't deny that. And therefore, what can we say? Can we say Ra? Can we say Tov? Can we agree or disagree? We can't put any stumbling blocks. Take her. But the Alshich wants to understand this pasuk on a deeper level, and he says the following. Kosev Etzlenu, elsewhere in my writings, Al Drush, when I was darshaning Yediyah Elokis, what it means that God knows, Ki lo tachriach lepulos ha'odom im letov im lara, that God's knowledge does not force man and compel man to do either good or evil, is kol od, that only applies shadavah lo yotza mipiv yisparach, as long as God didn't say a word. Ki im machshava bilvad. As long as God is thinking thoughts, it may or may not come to pass. But once God takes those machshavos and He converts them into speech, then it must come to pass. So all that God knows about what we're going to do in the future doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to do it. They're just thoughts. But if God declares it, He enunciates it, then it goes into a different realm. Ubaze yomru, halo amarta shetiyache seilenu lechesed v'emes, im no de bezivuk. You, Eliezer, said that it would be a great act of chesed and emes if we would agree to this marriage. Ach lo ken, that's not really true. Ilu hoysa yediyah bilvad lefan of Yisparach, if Hashem was thinking that Rivka should be married to Yitzchak, and He didn't express it, then it would be up to us, and you would give us a debt of gratitude, you would owe us a debt of gratitude for our choice to agree, to approve of this marriage. Ach, may Hashem yotza hadavar. What does that word davar mean in this pasuk? May Hashem yotza hadavar. Davar means it came b'toras divur. V'achar sheyotza mipiv yisbarach, God declared when she was born, bas ploni leploni, right? The daughter of Besuel is going to marry Yitzchak. K'mo she'amru, and he quotes the famous medrash, hine yolda milka. What happened over there? The Medrash says that after the Akedah, when Avraham Avinu was thinking, this is terrible, I didn't marry off my son Yitzchak, and here he almost died on the Akedah, I should have married him off years ago. Ilu ata hayenekad lo yiniach achav banim. You know, had the Akedah taken place, and God would have had Avraham Avinu go through with the Akedah, we know how close it was, then there would be no children from Yitzchak. Don't worry about it. Don't get nervous about it. Ki hine ata nolda bas zugo. You should know that his marriage partner has already been born. Hine milka, yolda milka, etc., etc., besul yolad es rivka. These are the last few psukim in Parshas Vayera. Klalad varim, ki adover yotzim mipiv yisbara. That God said, with the birth of Rivka, that she'd be married off to Yitzchak. And therefore you have nothing to worry about, Avraham Avinu. Why? Because there's no freedom of choice over here. Once God made that declaration, Yotza Mipiv, Bas Ploni, Laploni, Rivka will be married off to Yitzchak, that's it, it's set in stone. There's nothing that anyone can do, even Hercules, who could move mountains, could not change that. Vizel, and that's what Lavan and Besula was saying over Elo Nuchal, Davere Lecha, Afil Loma Rao Tov. Why? Because since God declared it, it's going to happen. And there's no way that we can change that. So you don't owe us any debt of gratitude. Now let's fast forward to the Al-Sheikh elsewhere. We'll see the same principle in his commentary on Parshas Baaloscha. He says the following. V'al-Hashenis Omar ato tire ha'yikarcha dvarai ki yimtza lehem v'yakotsu ba lahoros she'ein das ha'elyon muchrachas. Omar Loshon Mikre, right? It says Hayikarcho, which is Loshon Mirke, Mikre. Valpi Darko, and here we get up to page 2, Ramaz V'Omro Dabri, right? It says Hayikarcho Dabri. And that's what we said in our drush again about Yediyah, Sheish Hefresh Bein Machshov L'Dibur, Ki Abchira Efsharit Neged Machshov Lo Neged Adibur. And this is what the Gemara says in Masechta Nida, that when the fetus is about to be born, Hashem declares whether it's going to be wealthy, whether it's going to be poor, whether it's going to be healthy, and so forth. But the Ilu says the Gemara, Tzadik v'rosh aloka amar. At the birth of a child, God does not declare whether this child will be a tzadik v'rosh. That's what the Gemara says. Says the Al-Sheikh, let's read that Gemara very carefully. What does Gemara mean to say? That loka amar, that it was never actually enunciated by God that this child will be a tzaddik of a Russia. If God had said those words, there would be no freedom of choice. Uvederech hazeh matzinu v'ra'inu al omro al kein karol amokam ahu kivra satava v'tzorech pirush hadover kisham kavra v'hu lo ki lo kasher chashav Moshe shiyam musu gam e'asher lo is avu ki al kein karol amokam ahu kivra satava lahoros ki lo kavu rakes ha'omam is avu v'lvad. Moshe Rabbeinu was very nervous that at the episode of Kivras HaTavu, you remember when they asked me, Taimlun and Basar, you know, we should go back to Mitzrayim because we're not getting any good meat here in the Midbar. So Moshe was afraid that when the terrible Magefa, you know, broke out, that even those who aren't guilty of sin would also be destroyed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calmed down Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, Al Kain Karal Amakamahu Kivros HaTavu, that in this place God declared who will be buried, those who are misavin. Now, in number 12, we have the third piece of the Alshich. And once again, the Alshich, you know, brings home this very, very point. He again refers to his magnum opus on Yediyah and Bechira. Yesh Hefresh Ben Yediyah L'Dibur. Ma She'eino Yotzi Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rak Yediyah B'Lvad Eino Machrachas. It doesn't have to be. Ach HaDibur Lo Yoshev Reikam. But there's a principle that Dibur will never be reverse, they'll never be in vain. V'zeu maimar ha-kosuv, ken yia dvarai, asher yotza mipi, lo yoshuv elai reikam. That anything that came out of my mouth, God declares, will not come back in vain. And that's what the Gemara means in Nida when it says, tzadik v'rosha lo ka'amar, that God didn't declare whether the child would be a tzadik or a rosha. V'novo le'inyan acher, hine na Hashem al teishas alai chatos lo al bechinas uria shalokachtias ishto. So David HaMelech prays to Hashem that al teishas alai chatos, that you shouldn't find me guilty of any crime, lo al bechinas uria shalokachtias ishto, not in the episode of Uria that I married his wife, that's the Batsheva, v'lo al hanogea elecha al dvar eishes Uriah. Oh, first on sending Uriah to the battlefield, and secondly on having a relationship with his wife. Ein bo dovar, I lost the place here, one second. Ki lecha levadcha chatosi v'lo lo. I sin to you, but not to him. And that's based on the Gemara in Masechta Ksubis. The Gemara says, get krisus kasa v'lishto, that he had already delivered a divorce to his wife. V'gaval anogel lecha, any, I can't read the next word, any neged avon, I don't know what the next word is, any kvad avon or neged avon, ki alo me'oz amarti lecha, shetishva osi ala avos, v'yamarti shaloni sistani bahem, yidia yodata she'echte, ki einecha ro'as ha'osid ro' she'echte ach adayin im lo hayarak mare einecha shehi ha'yidia lo ha'yisi ose ki ein ha'yidia machrachas lecha aval ha'dibar shamartu li lo tamod b'nisayon al kenech rachtani ki ha'dibar ose roshem. So in this episode David HaMelech tries to plea for divine compassion, because he says, I'm guiltless, because had you only had a thought that I would sin, then it would have been my blame, because I have freedom of choice. But you declared that you will not be able to be omed in this nisayon. Shalo emod b'nisayon. Is at that point you made that declaration, and therefore I'm not guilty. And he uses the phrase here at the very end. He says, Ma esa, what can I do? Ki amarti, you declared shlo amod b'nisayon, v'asisi leman titzdak dvarecha. What I did was in order to justify your words. Okay. V'ula yeshlomar, says the Emek Bracha. We started with the Emek Bracha at the beginning, now we come back to the Emek Bracha. Because you remember the Emek Bracha asked the question, how could it possibly be that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Bechoros were already subject to Pidyon when that took place before the Chet HaEgel. He says, "Ve'ulay yishlom rapi dvar vayidum shal Rambam di'ena yediyah soteres la bechira." The Rambam says there's no contradiction between God's knowledge and bechira. "Dehein emes shakodesh baruch hu yodea ma'aseh bnei adam terem asosa." God knows what man is going to choose before he does so. "V'goyel lefanavim yechta adamov afal pichin ein yediyah shakodesh baruch hu machriach li adam lasos kach." Nevertheless, the knowledge of God, the foreknowledge of God, does not force and compel a person to do that. Tells you all the different places to look up the Alshich. On the one end, l'diburo shal Hakadosh Baruch on the other end. D'rak dibur shal Hakadosh Baruch machrachas habchira ayin shom lefi zeh yesh lahavin tirutzo shal achidah. So the Chidah wants to answer, how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already gave the mitzvah of Pidyon Bechoros before they worshipped the Egel? Says the Chidah, the Kevan HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo amar b'feirush she'yasa Egel. God never said that they will do the Egel. Is yeshna adayim begeder machshava. Then right now it's still machshava, b'li machriach, and nothing forces the Bechoros, in this case, to violate and worship the idol, the ego. V'nishar abchira b'yad yisrael shel olasos ha'egel. So again, the Chidah wants to use the Alshich to answer the question that we started with. How could it be that God already gave the pigeon a ben before the Bechoros had worshipped the ego?
Because he gave the potential. He didn't have to be put into practice.
Because he never said explicitly that they would worship the ego. So this question that bothered the minds of all the Rishonim, how could the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen be given predicated on what the sin that they're going to implement, the Bechoros, in the future, then you're robbing the Bechoros of their freedom of choice. The answer is no, Hashem never said that they would worship the ego. But so what I really want to get to is the Panim Yochos.
What we're saying is that at that stage they still might not have worshipped the idol, and that wouldn't have been put into practice.
Right.
Is there any other mitzvahs that come close to this?
I don't know. I can't think
it's
of any offhand.
It's a very unusual situation.
Okay, Rabbosai. So here's the question, is if we could stay for this, because this is the punchline of the Shia today. He says the following. He has a Gemara. The Panim Yochos lived in Germany two and a half centuries ago. His name was Horowitz, if I'm not mistaken. And he quotes the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim is the source for everything that we've been talking about today, that the original Kedusha was meant to be the Kedushas Bechar, and it was transferred over to the Levim through a pigeon process after the Chet HaEgel. And Avodah Ha'isa B'Bechoros El Shenifsalu Mishas Asiyas HaEgel. Now, how many Bechoros were there, and how many Levium were there? So the latter question is easier than the former question. The latter question is, there were 22,000 Levium. Now that would have worked out very nicely if the corresponding number of Bechoros that left Mitzrayim would have been the same identical 22,000. But the Gemara admits that that's not so, because there were another 273 Bechoros beyond the 22,000. That's called the Reish Ayin Gimel Nosarim. So those Bechoros were no longer subject to the pigeon of the Levium, because again, the Levium and the pigeon was one for one, and that would cover 22,000, but there's still a surplus of 173. So what do we do for this 173? So the Gemara establishes, Hutzuchu liftos kol echad b'chamisha shkolim. That we need a pigeon of five shkolim for those 173 that were not subject to the pigeon of the Levium, of the one per one Levi. Mashma dekonim shenifsula b'chor min avoda. Lo hayu tzrichim liftos. Now it comes out very strange that the entire process of pigeon which means Pidyon Levim, we'll call it that, was only necessary, says the Gemara, after the Asiyas HaEgel. And if that be the case, then Bishas Yetzias Mitzrayim, there shouldn't be any need for Pidyon at all. Which is again the same question in a different form that we've been asking until now. He says the following, in Cain, I would add the word Kosher, Hoda Nemar, Bishas Yetzias Mitzrayim B'Posim V'Hoyiki V'Yachav V'Chol B'Chor Adon B'Banecha Tiftah K'siv Hosim V'Chol B'Chor B'Banai Efter Pidyon Zel Lama Da'adayin Lo Nifsal. If the whole purpose of the pidyon was because they were posel le'avoda, and there was a two, you know, and that pidyon process was split. There were 22,000 that achieved pidyon by transferring the kedusha to the levim, and there was 173 surplus becharos that were redeemed by pidyon aben by the five slain. But all that was only necessary because the avoda was taken away from them. Well, why was the mitzvah of pidyon aben given before the avoda was taken away from them? V'nireh, okay, this is pretty radical. He says the osan v'choros shehukdishu b'mitzrayim k'moshe kasuv kadesh li kol b'char hem niskadshu li avoda b'kedushas kohanim. He says that there's something called an inherent kedusha in the guf, and it means that if you're born into that kedusha, like a kohen is born into that kedusha, he has that sanctity. The bechoros likewise would have that sanctity. In other words, it's not just, you know, the X number of bechoros that were sanctified for the avoda way back when, at the time Makas bechoros, they were sanctified, but that sanctity would be passed down through the generations hereditarily, if there's such a word, just like by Kohanim, the Gama Kohanim, Yigoshim Hashem, Pirush Rashi Elu HaBechoros. Oh, this is a very important Rashi. Rashi, right before Matan Torah, says that when the Pasuk uses the word Kohanim, this is before the Kohanim were designated for the Avodah. At this point in time, the Avodah was given totally, exclusively to the Bechoros. And Rashi goes out of his way to say that when it says V'gama Kohanim, why the Kohanim being singled out?
Where does it say Gama Kohanim?
It's Shmos, you see where he says it. Are you with me on Shmos Yutes Pasuk Chav Beis? On the third line in the middle column on top, do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So it says there, this is a quote from the Torah. Again, if we want, we look it up in the Chumash. It says, "V'gama kohanim ani goshim el Hashem." And Rashi's bothered by the, what do you mean kohanim? What status do the kohanim have? Says Rashi, the word kohanim is a code word for bechoros. And why is that? Because the word kohen really doesn't mean at this point in time a hereditary particular, you know, genetic lineage of kohanim. It means those who are designated for priesthood meaning service in the Mikdash. That sanctity of service is called kahuna. And that sanctity of service at that particular moment in time was totally, exclusively given over to the Bechoros. Is therefore, says the Panim Yafos, is this kachu gam kol zareim afilu einam Bechorim. This is what? It means that if you were a Bechor at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, then all your children would have Kedushas Bechor.
Like the Kohanim today.
Like the Kohanim. Because again, the status of the Bechor back in the day was identical to that of a Kohen. Just like the Kohen passes on his Kedusha to all his children, so to the Bechoros pass on their Kedusha to all of their children. Is therefore, Kemosha and Niskacha Levim, we'll find this again with regard to Levim, Haim, Vizareim, Ledori, Doros. Meaning, when the Kedusha was transferred from the Bechorim over to the Levium, all the Levium, for all generations, all their children, all their lineage, their descendants, were sanctified as Levium. But then he writes, I will call Abacharim Shivaldu Mikol Yisrael. Oh, now he wants to say, I call this, are you familiar with the phrase Tzvei Dinim? This is a brisket Tzvei Dinim here. He was way before Reb Chaim. But he says the following, that there are two categories of Bechoros. There's the original Bechoros, and then there's the children of the Bechoros. And he wants to suggest the following. He says, the original Kedusha of the Bechoros was a full-fledged Kedusha, equal to that of Kahuna, which means it's transferred through heredity, you know, to the Zera. However, he says, the children of the Bechorim, they have already a secondary Kedusha. Why? Because the original Kedusha was taken away from the Bechorim. So the generations to come only really have that residue, that partial Kedusha. That's what he calls Lo Niskachu El Lepijon. Pijon meaning the five slun. Okay, now he goes back to Parshas Bo, with the parsha that we've been studying today. V'ainu detziv b'posuk, ki v'acha v'gomer v'chol b'chor odem v'onecha tifteh, Hainu, what is that mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen? Bechoros shall call Yisrael shall ohukdishu la'avoda. It means the children of the original Bechoros. They need Pidgin. The original Bechoros, the real McCoy, their Pidgin was going to take place later on through what? Through Leviim. When the Kedusha would completely removed and transferred over to the Leviim. But nevertheless, what about the children of the original Bechoros? They have a Kedushas Pidgin. And that's what the Torah is commanding here in Parshas Bo. Teida, the Iyaviya Kedusha Lavoda, Bechol Bechoros, Sheivoldu, Bechol Yisrael, Lomi Yiposla Bechoros, Sheivoldu, Bishvil Avoseim, Shechatu b'yegel ha'kedushas b'choros he'mitzad atzman. He says the following: if you're going to argue against my thesis that the children of the b'choros have the same identical kedusha as the original b'choros, their parents or grandparents, then if that be the case, then it's a kedushas avoda. If it's a Kedusha Savoda, how do you remove that Kedusha Savoda? Let's say, for example, you have a Kohen who gives birth to a son, and that son is also a Kohen. Now, the father violates a terrible Aver. He has the power to contaminate himself, but he cannot contaminate his son. The Avera of the father, even if it leads to a situation where we'll have to rob him of his Kedusha, should have no impact on the Kedusha of his son. So that even if the original Bechoros now will worship the Egel, but those children that were born to them should still maintain the original Kedusha of Kedusha Savoda.
He said if they weren't Bechoros and they didn't worship the Egel, other than those who might have been Bechoros.
No, they simply weren't alive at that time. Let's say they were born to the Bechoros after the Chet HaEgel, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So then, in that case...
But even if they were born.
Or even if they were born, but if they didn't worship the Egel, so then why would the Hafkas Kedusha of the father have any impact on the children? And he says the only answer that you could possibly have is that the children did not have, from the get-go, the identical Kedusha of their parents. The parents, who were chosen at the time of Makas Bechoros, and saved by Hashem, were now designated for the Avoda. They had and they received the full-fledged Kedusha Savoda. They could pass on that Kedusha, like any Kohen passes on Kedusha's Kuna to his children, but the children get a different kind of a Kedusha. It's a limited Kedusha. If it was the Kedusha, the full-fledged Kedusha Savoda, then they never became possible. So again, let's read it again. Teida, the iavya kedusha lavoda b'chol abechor sheivoldu b'chol Yisrael, lami yipasul abechor sheivoldu b'shvil avosem shechatu ba'egel. Ha'kedusha sabechorim he'mitzad atzman. Once you're born as a bechor, you are vested with that kedusha. Avlofima shekasavtu shelo hukdishu ela osan habechorim. When did God designate and engender the Kedusha? That was at the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim at Makas Bechoros. and that kedusha was a kedushas avoda. El memela you zaram kedoshim, but the kedusha of the zera is not identical to the kedusha of the father. It's a new entity, and even though that kedusha is machmas avoseihem, it's a result of their father, but nevertheless, it's not identical to the kedusha of their father. The kevan shechatu avoseihem be'egel. What is the significance of the chet egel of the avos? Nishalu min avoda, they contaminated themselves and undermined their kedushas avoda. Memela ein kol zareim kedoshim, and now the kedusha of their children is not going to be that same kedusha. Kemo ben chalal shenifsalu kol zaro min hakohuna. In other words, if the father already lost his kedusha and he cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash, then he cannot give birth to a child who's capable of working in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's called a chalal. Chalal means chalos, this hafkas kedusha, and that's passed on, that expresses itself even in the zera. So now we can say the following, that as far as the original Bechoros are concerned, who were Bechoros already at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they received the full-fledged Kedusha, and they would be Mafkia that Kedusha when they would worship the Egel. That should Lechor have no impact on the children unless we apply the principle of Chalolos. And if we apply the principle of Chalolos, then we can understand that although the Bechoros at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim were invested with the full-fledged Kedusha, however, once there were children that were born
after they had sin,
subsequent to the sin of the Chet Egel, they already were born as Chalolim, because the Chalu Ben Avod already at the time of the Chet Egel, their parents. So now we have basically three sets of Bechoros, according to the Panim Yofos. We have one set of Bechoros that were designated already at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, sanctified with the full-fledged Kedushas HaVodah. We have their children that were born, let's say any child that was born before the Chet HaEgel, those children would inherit the Kedusha of their parents, and it would have the status of a, like a Kohen who passes on his Kedusha to the next generation.
But they would have full-fledged work with Avodah.
So then, when you see, let's go back. I don't know if you have it underlined, but it's about line 7. It says, "I will call a bechor sheyivoldu mikol Yisrael." I mean, I underlined that. So he says, "Lo niskatcho le pidgeon." So I think I made a mistake when I translated this before. He's saying the following, that there's another group of bechoros. What do you say?
So what he's saying, if you don't cross over the Bechoros of the Pidyon, you only pass over the kind of Kedusha that has to be redeemed.
Right.
Oh, now he says, let's see if we can get to this. The Ein Lahakshos Al Zeh Diyum Kein Osan Reish Ayin Gimel. Those Bechorim Shayu B'Shas Yitzias Mitzrayim V'Hutzvuk Liftos Atzma V'Heisloim B'Men Niftu Kol Zaram Achreihem. Just one second. Ah, I got it. I think he's asking the following question. He's saying Bishleim Alashitasi, it makes sense that the 22,000 that were subject after the Chet Egel to a pigeon of Levium, one per one, then it makes sense that their children would be subject to a lower level of pigeon, would be, not subject, I'm looking for a better word, would be, it would be meaningful and valid to give them a lower level of pigeon. Why? Because through the pigeon to the Levium, the basic Kedusha was removed. So there was Chet HaEgel, then there was pigeon Levium, and now the basic Kedusha is removed. What's left is a residue of Kedusha, which requires a pigeon of Hay Slut. But that's not going to help me for the Reish Ayin Gimel, because the Reish Ayin Gimel never had that basic pigeon, so then all of their children should be invested with the Kedusha of Bechorah. V'nira d'asi shaper, I have an answer for this, he says. The Osan Achav Beis Elef Shenichnesu Elevim V'Zaram L'do Rosam Tachas Zaram L'do Rosam. That there would be an infinite, you know, unlimited from a time perspective, unlimited transfer of Kedusha to the Levim, is lo hayu srichim habachoros shalahem liftos behei slon kevan shekfar niftu bezera Levim. So he's saying now, if I understand correctly, that the offspring of the original 22,000 Bechoros don't need any pigeon whatsoever. And why is that? Because in terms of their inherited Kedusha, that inherited Kedusha was transferred over to the Levim. Okay?
Now we're talking about the parents of the children.
He's saying that the children of those 22,000, they don't need pigeon because their parents were already subject to the pigeon of the Levim. Correct?
So, Hebel, is this, now I'm confused, is this after the Chayta Egel?
This is after the Chayta Egel. So we're talking after the Chayta Egel. Now we take the 22,000 Bechoros that were originally invested with a full felt kedusha, and we're poda them on the Levim. We haven't yet gotten to the Reish Ayin Gimel, but if you're talking about the children of these 22,000, and you're asking, well, do we find that there's a chiv pigeon on? Forget about the bechoros, but I'm talking about the second born and third born. We don't find any mitzvah of pigeon. And the answer to that is because for all Dori Doros, the Levim would replace that pigeon was meant to impact on all the generations. So therefore the children of the 22,000 would not need pigeon, but was still stuck with the Reish Ayin Gimel because even they never had the...
Even if they were born before the Chayta Egel.
Even if they were born... they were born. They were from the Yotze Mitzrayim. And if they were from the Yotze Mitzrayim, correct? So then L'chora, since they were Niskadesh B'Kedushas Bechor, and they never had that full-fledged pigeon, then the residue of Kedusha that's left over should now pass on to their children. Their children should require pigeon. Now, could you imagine if there were families today in Israel that would have to be poed to every single offspring, every single member of their family? Why? Because they were descendants of the original 273 Kohanim, I'm sorry, Bechoros, who had the status of Kohanim, who were never subject to that absolute pigeon through the Levim. Ube'emes kol ha-Bechorim, Srichim liftos, afilu hanoladim in ha-Bechorim, shahayu v'mitzrayim. So now, at this point, we're going to say the following, that although the basic Kedusha was removed from the children and the offspring of the 22,000 through the pigeon to the Levim, but he says, what about that Miktsas pigeon, that partial pigeon, for the residue of that Kedusha of Heislam? That should apply to all the children of the Chaf Beis. Elekavonas Hashem Yisparachaya, Shalo Yiftu Oson HaBechorim, Sheivoldu Mizera HaLevim, Es Habachorim Shivoldu Min Habachorim Shiyetsu Mitzrayim L'chol Echad Zera Levim Kenegnam. One second, the language here is a little bit hard. Ela Shekavaras Hashem Yisrael Chaisa Shalo Yiftu Osan Habachorim Shivoldu Mizera Levim Es Habachorim Shivoldu Min Habachorim Shiyotsu Mitzrayim L'chol Echad Zera Levim Kenegnam. Ah. In other words, Hashem Yisparach did not want to effectuate a process of pigeon that would apply throughout the generations with pigeon al yidei alevim, such that the children of the original Bechoros would be nifted by the children of the Levim throughout all the generations. Vehem yia pigeon l'chol zera ha-reish ayin gimel Bechorim Chutz me'abachoros, habachorim shalahem. Ah, he says that the children of the Levim, if I understand correctly, this Zera Levim, would now be a pigeon for the Zera of the Reish Ayin Gimel Bechorim. Chutz min ha-Bechorim Shalehem. So, as far as the Bechorim of the Reish Ayin Gimel and their descendants, they need pigeon. But the other offspring do not need pigeon because the Levim were po to them. Vatam, and what was the logical reason for this? Lefishek v'hutzruchu. Just give me 1 second. I just want to read one more sentence. So I Vatam lefishek v'hutzruchu avoseim liftos atzmon yizias eschar shalem shekol zareim chutz min abachorim yiftu bezera levim. He says the following. Why did Hashem organize that the Zera Levim would be a pigeon for the Zera Reishai and Gimel Bechorim? Again, the original Levim were 22,000. They could only be a pigeon for the original Bechorim. And that only reached the number of 22,000. Now you have the surplus of 173, of 273. Those 273, Lechora, their children would now need a pigeon, and Hashem organized it that their children don't need the pigeon from the basic Kedusha, because the Zera Levim would now serve as a replacement for the Kedusha of the Zera of the 273 Bechorim. And why did Hashem organize it that way? He says that would be a schar. Why? Because already back at the Tzivui in Parshas Bo, they, the 273 surplus, as we call them, were already fulfilling the mitzvah of pigeon with hay slun. But lakach hutzruchu kol habachorim sheivoldu minachov beiz elef liftos es atzmam. But now, what about the bachorim that would be born to the 22,000 of the pigeon? Right? Why did they need a pigeon of 5 slaim? After all, if their parents were already subject to a pigeon of Levim, why did they need a pigeon? So at least as far as the offspring that are not Bechorim of the 22,000, we understand very well that they don't need a pigeon because they were replaced by the Levim. But what about the Bechorim? I mean, why are they any different than the Bechorim of the Reish Ayin Gimel, who were included in the original mitzvah, regardless of the Kedushas Avodah, as we called it before? He says, Gavu Dovra Miskavel. And this also can be explained logically. And that is, Shalo Yitztarchu B'chol Pam Levarer Miu Zera HaChof Beis Elef Umiu Azera HaReish Ayin Gimel Milsa the Psiki Shekhal B'chor Shivadu Lipadlu Yipadu Be'eslon. In other words, Hashem made a kind of a low plug. Since he had to obligate the Bechoros that would be born to have a pigeon of 5 slaim, so he extended that pigeon even to the Bechoros of the Chaf Beis. So again, if you're talking about the offspring of the Chaf Beis, Elef, Bechoros, Sheyotzu Mitzrayim, that the offspring of these Chaf Beis do not need pigeon. The reason for that is because those Chaf Beis were replaced by the Levim. But we still need a pigeon for the Bechoros. Why do we need a pigeon for the Bechoros of those of that offspring? After all, if their ancestors, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, were already subject to the pigeon of the Levim, why is there a mitzvah pigeon of Bechor of Heislaim with regard to the Bechoros Sheivaldu? And the answer is that since there was the Reish Ayin Gimel that would Bishas Yitzias Mitzrayim, correct? Hashem gave them a gift that because they did the pigeon of Heislaim as an additional mitzvah, their children, their offspring, would be nifta through the offspring of the Levim. And therefore they didn't need any pigeon. Oh, but nevertheless, that was all because of the Heislaim. So now, what we're going to have is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell Klal Yisrael that since the the Lefisha Hutzlav Hoseim Liftos Atzman. Just one second. Let me just get this one more time. That is called B'chorim Atzukim Liftos Afila Noladim Min HaB'chorim Shoyim Mitzrayim Elo Hashem Yisparach Kavon HaSech Lo Yifto Osam HaB'chorim Shivolu Mizera Levim. And therefore Shivolu Min HaB'chorim Shiyotzim Mitzrayim Echol Echol. So the premise here is that the vlados of the Levim would not be a pigeon for the vlados of the Bechorim Sheyotzim Mitzrayim, but they would be a pigeon for the vlados of the Reishayim Gimel. So therefore, the vlados of the Reishayim Gimel don't need a pigeon. Vehem, meaning the Zera Levim, would be a pigeon lechol Zera HaReishayim Gimel Bechorim. Chutz mei habachorim shalehem. Ah, I think that's the key line here. Chutz min habachorim shalehem. So it means that the bachorim of the Reish Ayin Gimel would require that same separate mitzvah of pigeon bachorim that was formulated here in Parshas Bo, when the Torah says, "Kol bachor adam bibonecha tifteh." And that mitzvah is going to apply to Bechorim, not just the 273 Bechorim that didn't have any other pigeon and they were poking themselves with five slime, but also to the Bechorim that would be born to them. Because again, even though there was a pigeon, Hashem had rachmanis and compassion on the Zera of the Reish Ayin Gimel, to allow that the pigeon of the Zera Halavim would be effective as far as the Zera of the Reish Ayin Gimel, but what he still left intact was the original mitzvah of pigeon Abachar, right, with Hay Slime. Obviously, in the case of the fathers, the 273, they desperately needed that pigeon because they didn't have any other pigeon. But with regard to their children, and l'chora that would include even the b'choros, were already subject to the pigeon, l'dorei doros, of the Zera Levim. Is Mamela, you'll ask me if so, so why do the b'chorim of the Reish Ayin Gimel require pigeon of Heisloim? They're all subject to, right, the offspring of who are b'chorim are already subject to the pigeon of Zera Levim. And the answer is that there was already a mitzvah of pigeon abachorim that was given to whom? That was given to the Reish Ayin Gimel at the time that they left Mitzrayim. They didn't have any other pigeon. And that mitzvah, which represents the residue of Kedushas Bechora throughout the generations, requires a pigeon of Hay Slaim. And now we understand why the Zera of the Reish Ayin Gimel, if they're Bechorim, they require a pigeon of Heisloim.
Just like in Yisrael, because they were the parents with Levim.
Correct. But now you can ask the question, so what about the Zera of the 22,000 Bechorim? Is Lechora, their Zera, since the Levim were Nithnasim Tachtom, and Zera Levim for all Dorosam, they wouldn't need any sort of what? Any sort of pigeon, correct? They don't need a pigeon. They were already Nifta b'Zera Levim, correct? Just one second. Just have to... Wait, just, Doc, I'm so sorry. I apologize profusely. This is not my style, but I just, you know, there's a very important point here that I don't have, and, you know, you're going to be talking to the wall here because I won't understand anything you say. I just want to say, Kol b'chom shivvah b'chom Yisrael is lonis kachu el lepijon. So that's b'chorim of Kol Yisrael. As far as the b'chorim of the original Bechorim. So that's a question of not only Bechorim, but all the Zera. I think it's up. Kol Bechorim and the Sivta. So what I'm going to suggest is the following, and do me a favor, check me out if it works out in his language, that the original mitzvah of Pidyon Bechor, right, that original mitzvah was not given to the original Bechoros, because the original Bechoros had a Kedushas Avoda. And that Kedushas Avoda could not be removed through a regular pigeon of 5 slot, at least as far as the 22,000. Those 22,000 would be subject to pigeon through the Levim, and that would impact on all their children through all the generations. But then there's another mitzvah that is totally independent of Kiddushas Avoda, and that's the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed, and he allowed amongst the original Bechoros of Yotzei Mitzrayim, he allowed 273 of them to be poda themselves with hay slot. So in effect, basically, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressing back in Parshas Bo? He was addressing the Reish Ayin Gimel, and he was imposing upon them an obligation and coming upon them to be potent themselves with Heislaim. That mitzvah is totally independent of Chet HaEgel. Because again, the Chet HaEgel is only relevant to the Kedushas Avoda. Now you could always ask, well, if there was a Kedushas Avoda, that Kedushas Avoda had to be removed through a different process, not through Heislaim, because that's already Bechora with Kedushas Avoda. That process was the process of Levim. And that would impact not only on the original Bechoros, when I say original, I mean the Yotzei Mitzrayim, it would impact on all their generations, so all that would be poda. But what's left is the original mitzvah of Pidyon of Heislaim. And that original mitzvah of Pidyon Heislaim, insofar as it's independent of Chet HaEgel, that original mitzvah means that there's a certain Kedusha to Bechoros, and that Kedusha is called Kedushas Pidyon, not Kedushas Avoda. And then you could only ask the question as to, now we have two questions. Question number one is, so what about the Reish Ayin Gimel? They weren't subject to what? To a Pidyon, a Pidyon HaLevim, because there were only 22,000 Levim, correct? So now we have to assume that somehow, magically, and that's why I think the chesed here, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered that Pidyon of Heislaim for the Reish Ayin Gimel to be enough to be poda to them. Now we have to ask the next question, even if I grant you that premise, but what about the children of the Reish Ayin Gimel? Because again, the Pidyon of Heislaim is not going to operate with regard to the Zera, because that's Kedushas Avoda. They were in the original Bechoros. So that as far as the Zera of the Reish Ayin Gimel, we're going to need a profound Pidyon to remove the Kedushas Avoda. And the answer is that those Noladim min HaLevim, the Zera Levim, throughout the generations, they would serve to redeem the Noladim min HaBechorim Shehayu B'Mitzrayim. But let me read it to you inside. He says, "Asi shapet the osan achofeis elef shenichnasu alavim v'zara tachteim tachas zera zaram l'dorasem lo yitzrichim abacharim shalem liftos beis slot." So again, he's assuming that if they had the more profound pigeon of levim, they don't need the pigeon of hay slot. Kevin shikfar niftu be zera levim. So therefore, in truth, please keep this in mind, because I'm going to forget it, the Zera of the Chaf Beis do not need Pidyon. The Zera of the Chaf Beis do not need Pidyon. They had the fundamental Pidyon of the Levim. Ben Eskol HaBachorim Tzrichim Liftos Afil Noladim Min HaBachorim Shehayu B'Mitzrayim. Even the Zera of the Bechorim of the original 22,000 need Pidyon. So why is that so? L'chora they shouldn't need pigeon at all, because their father had a pigeon of Levian. Ela kavanas Hashem yisparach haya shelo yiftu osam v'chorim shivoldu mizera Levian es ha-v'chorim shivoldu min v'chorim shiyotzu mitzrayim l'chol echad zera Levian kenegda. So in other words, Hashem made a cheshbon that the zera Levian through the generations would be a pigeon for the regular offspring, the regular zera of the noladim min ha-v'chorim, but they would not serve as a pigeon for the b'chorim themselves. So any b'chorim sheivaldu min ha-b'chorim sheyotzu Mitzrayim would need a pigeon. But again, what kind of pigeon would they need? Only the heislod. They wouldn't need a more radical pigeon, because the fundamental kedusha savoda would have been inherited by from their forefathers, and that kedusha was removed. The heim yu pigeon lechol zera ha-reisha in gimel, and the fundamental kedusha of avoda as far as the reisha in gimel would be removed by the zera aleviyim. But again, there would still be a need with regard to b'char to fulfill the original mitzvah that was given in Parshas Bo of kedushas b'char lepijon for the five slot. Vatam lefishikvar hutzku avoseim liftos atzman. In other words, the mitzvah of pigeon chamisha slaim was given to the reishayin gimel to be poden themselves, because they would not be subject to the pigeon of the levim, because there weren't enough levim to cover the reishayin gimel. And if Hashem gave a schar and established that the kedushas avoda of the original reishayin gimel would be subject to the pigeon of Heislon, if I understand them correctly. I don't know, he doesn't spell that out, but that's what I think he means. And therefore, he says, but again, Hashem did not remove the original mitzvah of Heislon for that pigeon, Kedushas pigeon, that was given to the Reishayin Gimel because they weren't subject to the Levium. That mitzvah remains intact, and it passes down through the generations to be poder their Bechoros. But now you'll ask yourself, well, what about the Bechorim of the original 22,000? They should not need any pigeon, because they were subject to the profound pigeon of the Levim. L'chein hutzuchu kol ha-Bechorim sheivoldu min ha-chof beis elef liftos atzman, because insofar as that chiyuv of pigeon with regard to the Bechorim, right, that was given, That mitzvah continues with regard to the Bechorim of the Chaf Beis. So the regular offspring, I don't know what you want to call the Pshutim, is actually the technical term, the Pshutim of the Chaf Beis don't need pigeon, because that pigeon was, that Kedusha of Avodah was completely removed from the Chaf Beis through the process of pigeon. But who's left that requires pigeon is any pigeon that reflects the removal of the Kedusha that's independent of Kedusha Safoda, namely the Kedusha's pigeon of the hay slain. So therefore, the Zera Bechorim of the 24,000, just like the Zera Bechorim of the Reishayin Gimel, will require a pigeon, but for two different reasons. The Zera Bechorim of the Reishayin Gimel require pigeon because they were never subject to the pigeon Aleviim, those Reishayin Gimel. They rather had a different method of pigeon, and that was Heislaim, and that requirement on the part of Bechorim to be poter themselves, Kedushas pigeon of five slaim, is going to be transferred over or bequeathed through the generations to their Bechorim. So they have to do the pigeon of Heislaim simply because there was no pigeon of the Levium, and since they're father had to be poda himself with Heisloim, they too inherit that mitzvah of being poda themselves. In the case of the Chaf Beis, their children shouldn't require pigeon, even though they're Bechorim, just like the Pshutim don't require pigeon. And that's because there were 24,000 Levim that were sanctified as a replacement for the sanctity that was removed from the Chaf Beis. And then he writes, Gamz Humakubal, And you'll ask me, so why do the Bechorim of the original Chaf Beis have to be poter themselves with Heislaim if their forefathers had the radical pidyon, the fundamental pidyon of Leviim? Shli yitztarchu b'chol pam levar mihu zera ha-Chaf Beis elfu mihu zera ha-Resh Ayin Gimel. Meaning, if you're going to say that there were a group of Bechorim that don't require pidyon of Heislaim because their ancestors were subject to the pidyon Aleviim, if that be the case, then everybody's going to have to figure out and calculate, am I a Bechor from the Chaf Beis Aleph, or am I a Bechor from the Zera of Reish Ayin Gimel? Meaning in that those early generations, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, everyone was going to have to figure out which group of Bechorim he descended from. Is he a Bechor of Yankala, who was of the Chaf Beis? Was he a Bechor of Berela, who was a Bechor of the Reish Ayin Gimel? So it comes out like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a tremendous chesed, if I understand them correctly, with regard to the Reish Ayin Gimel, allowing them to remove the Kedushas Avodah through a pidyon, a regular classical pidyon Bechor of 5 Slaim. And that mitzvah is going to remain for all eternity. It was given in Parshas Bo, and it's totally irrelevant to Chet HaEgel, because that Kedusha of Kedushas Pidyon is a Kedusha that's engendered irrelevant to Avodah, so that the forfeiting or the contamination, the removal of the Kedushas Avodah that was a result of Chet HaEgel has nothing whatsoever to do with the Kedushas Pidyon of the 5 Slaim. And if that be the case, then the Zera of the Reish Ayin Gimel Lechora should require a more radical pidyon, and that indeed was a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow the Zera Aleviim through the generations to be poda the Zera of the Reish Ayin Gimel, but that doesn't remove the Kedushas pidyon of Bechor, that's going to remain for all generations. And if you ask me, says the Panim Yofos, why did the Bechoros of the original Bechoros of the 22,000 require pidyon? That's only with a kind of low plug of a Dover HaMeskabel. Kei Niril Elias Dayti El Nof. And now, Doc, I'm ready for questions. I'm not sure I can answer them, but at least I'm ready for them.
Just answer the very easy thing. So you came out that the whole of the 22,000 who had proper pidyon, their firstborn have to have it.
Their firstborn Lechora should not need pidyon. Why? Because the greater pidyon swallows up the lower pidyon. And if their parents, as Bechoros, had originally from Yetzias Mitzrayim a Kedushas Avodah, and that Kedushas Avodah was removed through the pidyon of Leviim, then there should be enough of a pidyon that would impact throughout the generations and remove the requirement for those 22,000 Bechoros, for all their children, including their Bechoros, throughout the generations, of pidyon, of 5 Slaim.
But nevertheless, they still have to.
Oh, no. Why do they have to? Because otherwise, you're gonna end up with a very strange technical challenge. You're going to have to ask yourself, let's say you're already the fifth generation out of Mitzrayim. So you have to ask yourself, well, are you a Bechor that descended from the Chaf Beis, and therefore you don't need pidyon of 5 Slaim? Or are you a Bechor that descended from the Reish Ayin Gimel, and therefore you do require pidyon? Because again, the Reish Ayin Gimel had the mitzvah of pidyon, of Kedushas pidyon of Heislaim, even back at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's going to be passed on through the generation.
But then there's another Bechor, the guys who weren't involved at all, that still were having Bechor.
Correct. And they were commanded in the mitzvah of pidyon haben, b'toras what? Not b'toras Yotze Mitzrayim, because they weren't Yotze Mitzrayim. The Yotze Mitzrayim were exhausted by this 22,273, right? That's all of Achoros that had that Kedusha. Amongst them, only 273 had the mitzvah of Pidyon Haben,
which was given at Bo.
What do you say?
Which was given to at Bo.
Which was given in Parshas Bo. And that mitzvah will be Machayev all the Achoros throughout all generations, irrelevant to Avodah, Kilkul, Pgam, Chait, and Levim. Forget about all that.
Simply because there's no way of knowing who belongs to you.
No, no. What I'm saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a command for that generation. The recipients of that command were the 273, correct? The 273. And in later generations, all the Bechoros, from anyone, Yotzim Mitzrayim or not Yotzim Mitzrayim, Bechoros or not Yotzim, because as long as you Bechor, Petarechem, you have that same mitzvah that was given back in Parshas Bo to the Reish Hayim Gimel, that insofar as you have Bechor with a Kedushas Pidgeon, that Kedushas Pidgeon was not affected or tainted in any way, shape, or form by the Chet HaEgel. So what the Panim Yafis has done now is he's completely circumvented the problem that all the Rishonim have addressed. Namely, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu give a mitzvah that's predicated on the Chet HaEgel? After all, they were Niskadish B'Kedushas Bechor. Correct? Ella, what, you're going to lose? They're going to lose and forfeit the Kedushas Bechor through what? Through Pidgeon? Through Pidgeon Eislam? Pidgeon Eislam can't remove Kedushas HaBechor, meaning in the full sense of Kedushas HaVodah, unless you introduce the Chet HaEgel. But how can you introduce the Chet HaEgel? Maybe they won't even violate the Egel, because man is granted freedom of choice. So that question is totally irrelevant.
Except for the 273, where there was something specially put aside.
Right, in other words, the mitzvah was given to them as a Kedushas Bechor, which has nothing to do with Avodah. That Kedushas Bechor is a separate entity that exists independent of Kedushas Avodah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechazdo would allow that pigeon of five slaim would be valid and operative for the Reish Ayin Gimel, even though there were no Levim to replace them. But that mitzvah, insofar as it's Machayev the Bechoros in Kedushas Pidgeon, that mitzvah is given for all Bechoros through all generations. The only problem that the Panim Yafos had to face here within his presentation is, why did the Bechoros that came out of the Bechoros of the 22,000, why did they require a Pidgeon? L'chora, since their parents were already subject to the all-inclusive and radical fundamental Pidgeon of Levim, they didn't inherit any sort of Kedusha. And the answer is that if Enochinami, technically they would not require the pigeon of Heislon, but if the Torah would have accepted that, then in the fourth, fifth generation of Yotzim Mitzrayim, they would always have to ask themselves, did I descend from the 22,000 Bechoros who were subject to the Kedusha Salavim? I mean, what testimony would they have five generations later? You know, my great, great Alta Zeda was the one who replaced this Joe Levy over here. You know, who's replaced five generations of past, you couldn't know that. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a sweeping chiyuv of Pidgin HaBen v'Toras five Slayim. And it's interesting now that for the descendants of the Reish Ayin Gimel, that's a very serious Pidgin of five Slayim. Because even the fundamental Kedusha of Avodah with regard to the Reish Ayin Gimel could only be removed through the five Slayim. Correct? And with regard to the descendants of the Chav Beis Elef, there the pigeon of five slaim is just a technical requirement.
But it is required for all those people that were in either of the two categories or the rest.
Right. In other words, if you had Bechoros that would be born
from the people who weren't Bechoros then,
correct, from the regular Pshutim. They require a pigeon of Hay Slime.
Almost like
the Reish Ayin Gimel, except that the Reish Ayin Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechazdo, accepted that pigeon of Hay Slime even to remove that fundamental Kedusha. Now, as far as the Zera of the original Reish Ayin Gimel, you'll ask the question which the Panim Yafos raises, why don't they require a fundamental pigeon? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to extend for them a sort of compassion and allow for face slime?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by giving that special privilege to the first group, stopped it going on.
Maybe it was passed on, but he offers a different shot. He wants to suggest that the Zera HaLevim would always serve as a pigeon for the Zera HaBechorim.
even though that wasn't
as far as Kedusha Avodah is concerned.
So that wasn't done. It's just axiomatic. It happens.
Yeah, I don't know exactly physically how it took place, and that's this line that I showed you over here. He says Kavanas Hashem Yisparach. In other words, maybe you'll tell me that the pigeon of the Levium would for the Chaf Beis would operate both for the parents who actually went through that physical transfer and for their Zera, that could be okay. But how does it work in the case of the Zera of the Reish Ayin Gimel? And you and I may have said, somehow the pigeon of five slaughtered could operate. I don't think he's willing to go that path. He wants to say instead that their pigeon would be the pigeon of what? Of the Zera Levim. I think so. Again, the language is a little bit obscure here. I'll read it one more time, and then I think we should call it. Kavanas Hashem Yisparach Haya Shelo Yiftu Osan HaBechorim Shivoldu Mizera Levim Es HaBechorim Shivoldu Min HaBechorim Sheyetsu Mitzrayim Kol Echad Zera Levim Kinegdom. I know this part is very difficult. I don't understand that language. If you want to look it over, but in any event, let's stop here. I will say thank you very much for joining me. And again, this is part of Yafo, so I knew it would be profound. I didn't realize how profound it was. But I think if we accept his thesis, which is very original, we've actually circumvented the whole problem of Yediyah and Bechira that all the Mefarshim were contending.
Well,
thank you. Okay, it's good.